Hi, I'm Jason Klepa, and you're listening to Beyond the Barbell Podcast.
Hey guys, this is Ben. I just wanted to wish you happy Thanksgiving from Blair and myself. Also, we know it's a holiday week, and we are really excited to bring you guys a very special holiday episode. To celebrate Thanksgiving with you guys, we sat down with Uriah Faber, actually a local UFC superstar, and we talked to him about training for his upcoming fight, and we actually did so in the setting of his new gym, which hasn't opened yet. Right now, it's almost done. It's this 21,000 square foot facility that's going to be coming to the Sacramento area. There's nothing in there right now. Some of the echoing you're hearing off the walls is just because you're in a big open space. Some of you guys have been in places like that, so you can relate. Nonetheless, I think you guys are going to love this episode and some of the things that Uriah has to talk about in the fight game and outside of the fight game. Enjoy, guys.
All right, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, sponsored by Reebok, the exclusive outfitter of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. I'm Blair Morrison.
And I'm Ben Alderman, and we're sitting here at Uriah's new gym. In case you guys don't know, Uriah Faber, I mean, he's got the better part of 50 professional fights. I think he's like at 43 these days.
40, like, I'm not sure.
44 fights, the most dominant champion in featherweight history, and all-around good dude, but spending a lot of his time doing some business stuff, and he's got a pretty big fight coming up, which is why we get to sit down with him. So, pretty cool Thanksgiving episode of Beyond the Barbell this week. Thanks, Uriah, for making some time.
Yeah, thanks,
oh, my
Uriah.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, you do have a big fight coming up, and let's get that out of the way, because I know that that's the one thing probably taking up a lot of your time right now, training and doing all that kind of stuff. So, what makes this fight different than your fights in the past?
You know, I would like to think that it was nothing different, but it's just not the case, you know. Since it's the last one, I just decided to make this kind of the final hurrah. I feel like things are perfect right now to do that. The new arena, I've been waiting to get in that. You know, I just came off a title loss to Dominic Cruz, which was a five-round battle. And, you know, I still love what I'm doing, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. But it's just lost a little bit of the energy and excitement that it used to for me. So I still get out there and enjoy the process, but like the ups and downs are not as what they used to be for whatever reason. And so that was kind of a sign for me, like, you know, let's go out on a fight that is going to drum up a bunch of emotion against an awesome opponent in my hometown and kind of really start to focus on whatever the next phase is for me. And it's been fun. You know, this training camp has been awesome. I've been enjoying the process. You know, it's kind of bittersweet, but I know I'll be in the gym every day with the next generation.
Yeah, I mean, for someone like you, it's a lifestyle. Even if you're not going to be going to, you know, major fights and things like that, I mean, you're still going to be training, you're still going to be helping other people get ready for their fights, you're still going to be around the sport. Tell us a little bit about, you talked about how kind of like the ups and downs haven't been as extreme anymore, and maybe you're losing a little bit of that luster. Like, how long does that start to creep in? You know, is it like all of a sudden one day you're like, man, it's just not what it used to be? Or is it like progressively kind of less satisfying, like fight after fight?
You know, I think what it starts to happen is, you know, first off, it's what you're used to. So I get up in the morning and I go to the gym. That's what I do. That's my you know, routine. So I enjoy that. I mean, I feel awkward unless I'm training, you know what I mean? You know, maybe a little grumpy or not as hungry or whatever the deal is. So that's always there. And then there's big fights throughout your career. There's fights that get you really excited, and there's fights that are just kind of lackluster and are a means to some other end. And you know, I've had a lot of those. Being a guy that's been in the limelight, that's been one of the main guys for the weight class for a long time. You know, a lot of times I'm the bigger name in a fight, and the stakes aren't always as high. So you have moments where it's just not as exciting, but, you know, you're looking at the bigger picture. So I don't know exactly when it becomes kind of a flat line. I went and I was chasing the chasing the excitement, trying to fight big fights with Frankie Edgar in the Philippines, which was cool. It was a fun experience. But again, it's like hair not rising on my neck, you know, not super upset at the end of a battle if you lose a decision, you know, that kind of thing. And I went into my Dominic Cruz fight, same thing. I still love the fight, in the fight, want to win the fight, but the ups and downs weren't there. So it's not necessarily a terrible thing. I'm not sure when it just became the norm, but definitely something that has come and go and come and go. But right now I feel like there's a lot of things I'm focusing on.
Some of that's just experience too.
Yeah, it is. It's not bad.
Been there and done that so many times. You've been a champ. Like, it's hard to find those hair-raising moments, you know?
Right. It is. And but it is also makes it really, really difficult to step away because it's not nerve-wracking, you know, and it's not very abusive. I mean, I lost a very close fight, three-round fight, my last fight against a young, tough kid. And, I mean, I didn't barely have a scratch on me and made a great payday and everything else. So it's like, is it really time to stop? But I don't really want to peter out, you know. I want to go out and attack the next thing that I'm doing with a passion and get the hair rising on my neck through the business side or through entertainment or whatever, training the next generation. I don't want to peter out just because it's an easy way to make a living, because the margins in fighting are great. They really are.
Yeah.
Being a business guy, you know.
So do you think that, I mean, because you've been the champ, and like you said, you've been in a lot of big fights. Do you think that that hair raising, that little bit of you, like not having that luster, do you think that you need to have that in order to actually be the champ these days and to have that kind of consistency at the very, very top of the very, very top level?
No, I don't think so necessarily. If you see guys like Fedor Emelianenko, a guy that spent his whole life competing.
He looked bored.
Yeah, he was like bored, you know, and whatnot. And I actually fought really well even regardless. It's just more of about a passion thing for me. I know that right now I can compete with anyone in the world at multiple weight classes. I know because I train with the best team in the world, and I get to test myself daily. I mean, I fought Cody Garbrandt this morning. I fought, Josh Emmett, Alex Sandoval. These are all guys that are at the highest level and young and hungry in the game. And I do great. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. It's actually probably a nicer thing. But for me, the reason I do this is not because of anything other than I've got a strong desire to do it. When that's gone just a little bit, it's a sign. On top of that, I'm 37, so there's no secret that, you know, you take the toughest, well-built house in the world and you just bang on it for years and years and years, there's, you know, things are going to start to crack a little bit and whatnot. And I don't want to take advantage of the fact that I'm a sturdy dude. I've got my health, I've got my mind working, and I'm excited about that. After 40-some-odd fights and a lifetime career of wrestling and doing combat sports, I feel amazing. So I feel lucky to have that and ready to go on to the next thing.
Do you feel like with, looking back, let's just say this, looking back, what is your biggest fight? What is your fight you look back with, like, the most fondest memory, win or lose?
There's a couple. I would say, you know, the Jens Pulver fight was a big fight. It was the first time I had a major event here in Sacramento against a guy that was a former UFC champion who has wins over guys like BJ Penn, someone that I respected a lot. And I got to fight him on a national level on TV, a big buildup in my hometown in the big arena. That was awesome, and a five-round war that I won. Another one was the fight with Mike Brown. I lost that fight, but learned a lot about myself, and I, you know, gained a lot of fans that, you know, maybe didn't understand what this sport is all about, which is just a true grit of grinding. You know, broke my hand in the first, dislocated my thumb in the third, and was fighting with no hands in a world championship fight. You know, those kind of things are defining moments, and so I look back at that fight, not during the moment. It was a very tough time during the fight, but for me, it was something that I, you know, could take with me to the next level of whatever I'm doing.
You talk about getting new fans and, like, people understanding what the sport is really about. Like, right now, like, the biggest name in the sport is Conor McGregor. And he seems more than anything to be, like, a promoter, like a showman. Like, he's getting enormous paydays because of the way he can like mobilize people to buy pay-per-view, right?
Right.
And that's like a part of the game as well. That being said, I mean, he's also winning fights and he's winning championships in multiple weight divisions. Do you think like that style of person, that bravado, is going to kind of be like the next wave? Are people going to try to follow his lead rather than be that humble, gritty fighter that we grew up loving to watch? Or do you think it's going to swing back the other way?
It's all going to be about individuals. Now, the truth is, I've gotten a chance to know Conor McGregor pretty well, spent some time with him, you know, as
right,
foes.
On the TV show and everything. Yeah,
as foes, and also, you know, built a friendship. He's being real. He's really like that. He's a witty dude. He's a cocky dude. He's got some good attributes that he's a hard worker, and he's got some real heart, and he's real loyal to the folks that helped bring him up. So I think what's going to win and what is going to create stars is the people that are true to who they are. You can up it or down it a little bit on how you present it to the real world, but I mean, that's who he is. It really is. I mean, I've seen him backstage. I've seen him, you know, behind the scenes, and it's the same guy. He definitely
dials
puts
it up,
thought,
yeah.
and dials it up a little bit. But Rousey, the same thing. She's real. Nick and Nate Diaz, they're real.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a real guy. I mean, when people think of me, it's not me being able to promote a fight. I can promote a fight, but it's more of, you know, what they see in me. I'm a guy that says hi to my mom and smiles and you know, has creative fights. We've got Cody Garbrandt, who's got a gritty side to him and you know, gets in his opponent's face and knocks dudes out, but he's respectful out of the octagon, can also promote a fight. He's fighting for the world championship from our team. He's being real. Paige Van Zandt, she's a sweet young girl that can, you know, throw some crazy kicks. She's being real. That's the stuff that I think is going to stay true. And, you know, Connor's a special athlete, you know, and a special guy when it comes to promoting. And he's also got a whole country behind him. He's he's in a real good spot in the time that the sport's at its highest moments. And every month, every year is going to be the highest moment for the MMA game. And so these next group of stars are going to capitalize big time.
Yeah, I think what we're talking about right now in terms of superstars and whatnot is authenticity, right? When you see that authenticity from people, it's really, really cool because you see kind of who they are, right? Everybody knows, like, what they see with you is really who you are, right? I think you talked about the Mike Brown fight, right? And I remember watching that, and there was a little bit of a vulnerability to you during that fight for the entire thing because your hands were broken. I was actually standing behind a couple of, like, drunk, annoying fans, and I was training with you at that time.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, Uriah sucks, man. Look at him. He's terrible. Like, he's not even throwing punch. And, like, I was, like, right behind. I was literally about to choke out, like, these two drunk dudes at your fight, you know? But, like, there's this authenticity you can get from people and then vulnerability. And I think those are two keys, and it lets people kind of in and lets you be a little more relatable to people who maybe aren't, like, your casual fan. Like, they're actually people from the outside looking in. They get drawn in to the sport because of who you are or even who Connor is, depending if you like it or not. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, yeah, there is. I mean, I think the more mainstream things get, the reality of what's happening kind of dissolves a bit. Like, you know, back in 2003 when I started fighting, it was illegal in California, and it was only happening on Indian casinos. Now I was getting paid $200 to show up, $200 to win. I wasn't telling anybody because it was kind of embarrassing. You know, you're fighting in octagons and Indian reservations, and you could wear shoes, and the rules were a little bit different and everything else. You know, it's just a different
Reebok
animal.
Wanted to sponsor back then, right? Then they could have their shoes in there.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. But, you know, it's one of these things that it gets dumbed down to the fact that this is two human beings that are really trying to symbolically kill each other, you know, whether you get a submission or a knockout or whatever it is. If that were to continue in the real world, you know, lights out. And so it's wild to think, and they talk, I've done some research, and one of the biggest fears in the general public in the world is a physical confrontation with another human being. And I've been doing it for... you know, 24 years with other trained guys, like, on a daily basis. And, you know, Ben, you've had some experience fighting with professionals and just kind of conquering those fears. But to the general fan, they feel real comfortable being like, oh, what's this guy doing, this and that. And then they forget, like, these are, like, modern-day gladiator warriors that are, like, putting their lives on the line. And it's not just entertainment. So I think sometimes you got to bring it back and talk to these fans and be like, guys, look, you know, you're dealing with some very unique people that are putting themselves in a very unique situation and training in a very unique way to be able to perform. And this just should be respect all the way around. And sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. But it's funny because everybody has a mouthpiece, a cowardly mouthpiece with social media and ways to get your words out there without having any consequences. And it's a comical thing when you really sit back and watch.
Oh, it's the same thing in almost any professional sporting arena, right?
Yeah.
You get guys watching Major League Baseball like, oh, you're a bum. You can't hit this 95-mile-an-hour slider.
Yeah.
Like, the hardest thing to do in any sport, like, hands down.
Yeah.
Like, this guy, just get him out of here, man. Take away his livelihood. He didn't deserve to be on the field. But, I mean.
Yeah, meanwhile, that kid started when he was, like, 3 years old.
Right.
Put in hours and hours and hours and probably taking a couple heaters to the dome on occasion and hurt their shoulders. And yeah, it's comical when you sit back and realize, okay, there's a finished product. It's like when you see a beautiful house, you know, no one looks at a house and thinks about, oh, I wonder, you know, who the poor guy carrying those big beams was that put that thing up. You know, it's just like, oh, look at that big house. There's all sorts of things that go into building the house, and that's kind of the way the sport is. And it's funny when you see people that just don't respect that.
Oversimplify everything.
Yeah. Oversimplify things, yeah.
Yeah, that happens, I think, with our sport a little bit. But, you know, our sport is a little different in that sense. I mean, than your sport. Like, you guys have, I would argue to say your sport is much more talented than our sport. Not saying we don't have talented individuals just as talented, but there's a little more hand-eye coordination and dip timing and different things like that. And there's that mental capacity of, like, I don't feel like I'm going to go out to a workout and die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, and also, I think
I'm trying to draw a distinction without
can't relate to what you do, but the casual fan can relate to what we do because they've picked up a bar in their life. You know,
yeah. Nobody's biggest fear is a workout,
right?
Right. Yeah. Somebody's biggest fear might be to fight somebody.
So it's almost like it's almost easier for them to respect how good the CrossFit Games athletes are because they're like, holy shit, that's 400 pounds. I know I can't lift that.
Yeah, right.
But having never been in a fight. Most people in their whole life.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I could probably beat him up. I said, like, beat him up. You know?
Like, you know, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Because they have no experience to really realize that it's so hard what you're doing.
But I also feel like just the mainstream portion of a mixed martial arts has caused, you know, the random tough guy to think twice in a lot of different scenarios because you never know who's training.
That's
you can't
true.
Judge a book by its cover. And once you realize, like, you know, let's all just be respectful to each other. And I would say that, you know, the baddest dudes on the planet have zero ego. You know, it's nothing to prove. And I think that's kind of carrying over. So it's definitely making some leaps and bounds. And there's a lot of people that respect what we're doing. And it's pretty awesome to see how the fan base has grown as well and how cool they are to the folks involved.
So you've had a chance to touch a lot of fighters throughout your career. Who have you helped mold that you're – I mean, there's probably a lot you're really proud of, but there are like one or two people that you've really helped bring up in the fight game that you're, you know, really pleased with or proud of?
Just the team in general. You know, I think people forget, you know, we've started with guys that are from the Sacramento area, guys like Danny Castillo that was a buddy of mine in high school because we wrestled in the same area. And, you know, I pulled him off a desk job and convinced him to come in and start training. And he had a super long and successful career at the big stage for, you know, a decade. You know, Andre Feely is another kid that came in house arrest. He had a, you know, ankle bracelet on. He was 19 years old and had just lost to one of our guys. And he came in and had to teach him about, you know, creating a lifestyle around what we're doing. Guys like TJ Dillashaw also. I mean, guy lived in my house and shouted what I was doing and you know, became a world champion. Joseph Benavidez worked the front desk. He came in as an amateur and was teaching kids class. And
he taught a Wednesday morning, 7 a.m., no-gi class. And I swear I was there, like, every week. And it was, like, me and one other guy, maybe. Sometimes just me and Joseph.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think I learned a lot of grappling from just Joseph.
Oh, yeah. No, so it's cool. Those are, like, grassroots side, but the new generation is Paige VanZant, who's a superstar right now, and Cody Garbrandt, who's soon to be world champion and going, you know.
Is Cody on your fight card? Same card?
Cody's December 30th.
30th.
A week, 2 weeks after.
Right.
You know, I'll tell you what, man, you want to stay sharp, get in there with Cody Garbrandt, because if you make one small mistake, your bell is getting rung. That kid hits hard, and he's athletic, and oh, man, that's a funny thing. When TJ was in the gym also, it's like you bring your A game or you're going to get, you know, checked. You know, Cody's the next level of that. Guys like Chris Holdsworth, who's now helping us coach, had a traumatic head injury that set him out, but he's an undefeated fighter. And then also guys like Alex Sandoval. Alex Sandoval has been a soldier for years and years and years. Sparring partners for me, for TJ, for Joseph, for Chad. And he finally got his opportunity in the UFC. He's fighting on the Sacramento card. And Josh Emmett, a couple broken hands. He's a local Sacramento guy who stepped in on short notice and got a big win in the UFC and is fighting on the Sacramento card. It's just cool in general to see the next generation happening, you know?
Speaking of that next generation, we're in your new facility, right, which is next generation of fighting facilities.
Yeah.
It's enormous, 21,000 square feet. Talk a little bit about what this place is going to be, kind of how the vision came about, and like what makes you excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, as Ben knows, he's been there from the beginning of my gym. We've always had a cutting-edge team and mentality and energy in our gym. After 10, 11 years of beating that place up and having seven parking spots and you know.
Yeah, the parking there, bro. I've wanted to stop so many dang times and just say what's up in the last, like, 5 years, and I don't because there's no parking.
Yeah. So, I mean, here we've got a couple hundred parking spots versus seven, you know. And, you know, the new facility is going to have a designated big area for the pro team so that, you know, the pro guys aren't scaring and sweating all over and you know, muddying up the water for the general public. We're also going to have some top-notch energy that's happening here and motivation with having the top team that people can watch daily. You know, this pro area is the front part of the gym, and then there's a whole second level that walks down with a cafe and a dry sauna and the locker rooms, and then the back area we have indoor-outdoor turf, and we have, you know, some CrossFit-type machinery and row machines and battle ropes and a traditional kickboxing area and an octagon. I mean, it's going to be a really top-notch facility. We're going to have a multi-purpose room for, you know, yoga-type stuff and TRX and things like that. We're going to offer everything in this gym, but it's going to be based around a unique workout, which is mixed martial arts. And as you guys know, being extreme athletes, it's always good to change things up, but it's also very important to be having fun and take your mind out of the workout. And that's one of the coolest things about our gym is, you know, you got this kickboxing edge where you're visualizing what you're doing to bob and weave and land a strike here and there, but you're getting in amazing shape. And so it's a brand new cool facility with that MMA edge. So you're learning real life tools to feel better and more confident and safer, but also around some of the best trained athletes in the world.
I think it's cool. I think a lot of facilities, if I would think about this myself, they would stick the professional team in the back. You know what I mean? So nobody was really seeing them. But it's almost the general public is going to come in, walk by, get super motivated, seeing you out there working like a dog, like taking some punches, giving some punches, and they're like, you know what? And they go over and they go to the bag and they're like, and they hit it a little harder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of cool because you come in through the entrance and you have to walk by in order
like,
to get that.
A car dealership, man. You put the Corvette in the front showroom.
Yeah.
You know, you don't feature the Corolla necessarily, even though that's like what brings in the business for
exactly.
The dealership. But you have that showpiece, and Team Alpha Male is like a hell of a showpiece. So
I appreciate that. And yeah, and you know, one of the coolest things, and that's kind of what I was thinking about for this area, is what makes us different? Because there's Anytime Fitness down the road, there's 24-hour fitness, and there's all these gyms around. But, you know, we're different because we're a mixed martial arts gym. We're going to have gi classes that are going on. We're going to have kids classes that are going on in this front area. Our traditional martial arts training will happen in here. But unless you're doing that and want that to be part of your workout, you're mostly going to be an observer in here. But there's always opportunities to walk over. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take my training to the next level. I'm going to get in one of those jiu-jitsu classes. I'm going to get in a traditional kickboxing class. Or, you know, like Ben, you know, starting out in the gym and going in and working out with the pros and being a training partner with the top guys in the world. I mean, that's something that can motivate someone and make you think bigger and you know, just be an experience. And some people will take it to the nth degree, and some people will it'll be just a part of the feather in the cap mentality of what they get to take to the next opportunity.
Do you feel like there's a certain type of person that comes in here kind of to get the Fight Club stimulus? Like, you remember, you know, that movie, obviously, like, yeah, cult classic movie, where you get like just regular dudes that just want to get hit and feel what it's like to kind of like turn the volume down in the rest of their life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think everybody thinks they want to do that until it happens.
Right.
I remember for me also, I draw a parallel with drinking beer and sparring. Like, you see your dad drinking beer back, my dad's sober 23 years, but you know, back fishing, drinking a beer, and you're like, oh man, I want to drink a beer, you know, with the guys and this and that. And then you taste a beer, it tastes like crap, and you're like, oh my gosh. You shove it down anyways because you're trying to hang out with the guys, and then you get used to it, you might like it a little bit, and then if you don't stop, it's going to be a problem, you know. That's the same,
right,
with sparring. You're like, oh man, I want to get in there, I want to hit somebody, this and that. Then you get hit, and you're like, oh crap. You tough it out, you get used to it, then you like start enjoying it, you need a little bit, but if you don't stop at the right time, it's going to be a problem. So like the drinking beer and sparring is a great parallel.
That's great, man.
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask a question because you mentioned me being a training partner with some of the best in the world. I thought we were going to make this an interview about me and about like how amazing I really was as a like a tackling dummy, so to speak.
Man, hey, what you've done now, I mean, you'd have continued the path. I'm sure you would have had a great career. I'm glad you didn't, because it's a friggin' rough way to make a life, and I know your family, and you've got some bright kids and everything. I would hate to see just the slightest little slip-up, you know, go the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. So I'm thinking about this, and you got this business happening over here, but you were talking earlier about these other businesses you're involved in. I mean, it sounds like you got a lot going on. Like, what other things are you doing outside of the fight game specifically? Maybe on the fringes, right? But
right,
of the lifestyle. But, like, what other things are you diving into?
Well, you know, I've always been juggling a lot of things and wearing a lot of hats. Throughout the years, I've had a management company that's helped, you know, guide the careers of some of the best in the game. Guys like myself and Chad Mendez and Paige Van Zandt and Chael Sonnen and Anthony Pettis and Mark Munoz and on and on and on.
Who are they?
And I've got a clothing line, Torque, which I'm rocking right now. And I've had a great partnership with my buddy Scott James out in Texas. And we do that. Purist Labs is a supplement company. I actually need to hook you guys up. You know, it's, you know, Amino D is branched chain amino acids and proteins and Noxygen, which is a blood stimulant, and Creo. You know, we've got creatine products, and we've got all sorts of cool stuff. But some of the cool stuff locally is the health-related stuff, and that's my background. You know, I was raised in a very unique upbringing. You know, I was born into midwives and a house in Isla Vista, California, and had, you know, a healthy lifestyle since I was young. And we've got Vibe Health Bar, which is on Broadway. We're working on a second location. We just joined forces with Liquidology, fresh juice, and we're starting to distribute and doing a version that can be sent across the nation. We're going to have multiple locations for Vibe. It's been kicking butt. It's acai bowls and healthy snacks and charcoal shots and apple cider vinegar shots and smoothies and a lot of healthy living things.
I just love a good shot of apple cider vinegar. Just quench
well,
my thirst.
I was raised on that crap, and I've acquired a taste for it throughout the years. Bragg's or apple cider vinegar.
Yeah,
drink.
Bragg's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's just, it's tough to get down, but it's good.
I see people are starting to drink like large amounts of it now. Like, yeah, you know, not just shots, like they're bigger amounts. I don't know what the benefit is
apple
yet.
Apple cider vinegar, a spoon of honey, and a cup of water.
Why am I doing this? I'm just curious.
It's good for your immune system.
Okay,
it's good for your pH balance.
It's good for your pH balance. It's helps fight infection, everything. It's good.
Oh, cool.
But anyway, so we've got Liquidology and Vibe. We're joining forces. We're going to be shipping juices out, but we also have our fresh squeezed juice locally on 8th Street is Liquidology's location, which is going to start becoming a Vibe as well. We have Vibe on Broadway. We're looking towards expanding that brand. We also have Kombucha Culture. You guys have been to my house. I have a kegerator in the kitchen. I have fresh kombucha going in. We distribute all sorts of different brands of kombucha and yerba mate tea. And it's cool to be in the health industry and also the sporting health industry and back to my roots with the juices and the kombuchas and stuff like that. That's stuff I'm passionate about. The gym is health, health related. The food is health related. Those things I'm excited about.
All right, so I've wanted to know this, and I'm sure a lot of other people want to know this. When you see someone who's famous, who's like built a name for themselves, getting involved in like these types of businesses. So you said Kombucha Culture is a distribution company. Vibe is an actual brick and mortar, location, like a franchisable location. You got your gym, you got the clothing line, you got the supplement company. Like, what actually do you do for these companies? Like, is it the type of thing that you're an investor, or are you like on a board, or how does that look?
It just depends. And I've always,
it's like so much to do.
Yeah.
Like I can handle my gym.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
It's like, how did you do all this?
Well, the most successful businesses that I've ever run have had great partners, because I can only do my part and I know what my strengths are, and I try to do my best to contribute, but I've been juggling a lot of things. So I have a great team from every aspect, whether it's the gym or the management or whatever. I have partners and complementary partners. I have some of my best friends from high school, college, and beyond that work for and with me and kind of like partners. So understanding people you trust, delegating things that you're not good at, understanding that it's not easy and it's going to be a lot of hard work, those kind of things. But for me as a role, I would say my strongest things are, first off, ideas. I've got a creativity that has allowed me to do some cool things and being fearless, being able to attack them. But relationships. Ben and I, he was a member at my gym, and we've had a relationship for years and years. When he asks for something, I'm going to do it. He texted me yesterday, and here we are today, right? It's staying true and being a guy that's good for your word and somebody that people trust and have can vouch for your personal credit, that kind of thing. So building relationships can open doors, can open sales doors, can have great partnerships and things like that. And then obviously as a brand ambassador, promoting and marketing and getting it to other influential people, whether it's a product or getting people in the door. There's a lot of roles that I can wear. I would say the things that I'm not great at are day-to-day, like micromanaging things. And that's why, they say you can only, a phone number and a license plate are seven numbers. You're supposed to be able to functionally think of seven things at a time in your mind. And if I was thinking about all the crap I got going on, it just wouldn't work for me. So I have to delegate. I have to prioritize. I have to make sure I have a strong team around me.
Who keeps you organized for all that? Is there multiple people who do that, or do you have like one person that's like kind of your go-to for that?
I have two people in particular, and they're my married couple, Tommy and Candy. So,
good Tom, people.
Yeah, Tommy is one of my best friends. We went to small towns. We wrestled at small towns and played football in small towns neighboring each other. He was in Escalon. I was in Lincoln. So I've known him and his whole family through athletics. Then he came over to UC Davis, and we were 1-2 punch, 125s and 133s in college. And then beyond that, we've partnered up on buying some homes and helped create this team. And so Tommy has worked for me or my companies throughout the years. And Candy, his wife, basically runs Tommy. So, anything that I have Tommy doing, Candy is always helping. And now she stepped in and wears a lot of hats as well. So On top of that, I have my management team, Mike Roberts and Jeff Meyer. I have my entertainment manager, Mark Schulman, who's out of Hollywood, Beverly Hills. And, you know, I have a tax guy, I have an investment guy, I have people that have been put in place and that I trust. So,
do you have a political advisor?
Political advisor. I've
Ben's
got a couple.
Volunteering for that job.
I'm looking for an inroad here, you know, something like that.
I've got a guy at our gym who is Jabron. He's in politics and he's talked to me about some stuff. And then also Jeff Wiley. He's another guy that.
So he already has one. He's already got one.
I know and has some eyes on that political game. But for me, I'm trying to stay out of the political game as is right now.
Yeah. That was going to be my question. It's like, is there inroads to politics? But you said entertainment manager. So what's the plan with that route? Is that something we're trying to?
Yeah. I've actually got a show that we're pitching. I just saw the rough of the sizzle reel with the Always Sunny in Philadelphia crew. And it's a great concept. It's a playoff of our cartoon, you know, series that we had on the internet called Fight Stories. And it's a whole research team where we go in and someone tells a fight story. We do some cartoon reenactment. We get in a specialist to look at, you know, what goes on in someone's head during conflict. Physical anthropologist, psychologist, research team to find the other side of the story, and then make it a hilarious show and do it with celebrities. So we're just about to pitch that. We've also got a couple of movies that I've been working on. I have some scripts. I also have some partners that I've met throughout all the years of doing this entertainment business. Fight Game is an entertainment game, and I've been learning that. I'd like to possibly be on screen. I'd like to help produce some stuff on top of everything else I'm doing.
Just for the fun of it?
Just because I like that style. I like the ability. Like for the Fight Game, for example, my lifestyle is I accept a fight. I prepare for a fight, I finish the fight, and I choose what I'm doing next. And that's what I've grown accustomed to, and that's what I want to continue doing. So,
it's like project-based.
Yeah, project-based. Yeah. And I have a bunch of other things. There's also an MMA university that we're working on that is going to be about the mental game and about the technical side of things and then about, you know, health and nutrition. And we've been working on developing that for a while. There's a lot of things I want to do, but it's all kind of in the same realm.
How do you connect the dots between all these different things? You know what I mean? Like, what's the correlate between all these things that you're involved in?
First off, it's about having a passion for it. I mean, anything that's MMA-based, like MMA University or the gym or the management of the clothing, that's all, you know, around what I've built my brand with. And then everything else is, do I enjoy doing it? You know, that's my biggest precursor. And then once you decide, and for the last 6 years I've been learning about the entertainment business, about what it takes to get a project funded and through the door, it's about who's attached. Just like anything else, a business is about people, a gym is about people. The entertainment world is okay, who holds clout, what's their involvement, and do people believe in them and want to, you know, put things behind making it happen. And it's hard. Nothing really goes through until you're funded and everything else. And I've been really close on a couple projects that the funding has fallen out. So understanding that you have to put together a great package that, you know, that can work.
So, okay. So is there any pushback from the entertainment industry for somebody like yourself who, if you wanted an MMA project to go through, I mean, you could probably find 1,000 people in a day to back you financially or back you for what you need. But in the entertainment industry, do you get to carry any of that over with you, like some of what you've done in MMA, or do they kind of look at you and be like, you're new on the scene, you're not a proven commodity, and so now you need to hitch your wagon to somebody that's basically you, but in the entertainment world?
A little bit. My manager at some level is...
Hey, how you doing,
good, brother?
Good. I knew you guys had an interview. Yeah. Excuse me.
It's all good.
Okay.
They got someone's gonna come right now.
Okay.
So you know, it's interesting because what I'm learning is my manager Mark Schulman, he's been in the industry. He works for 3 Arts Entertainment, which is a management and a production company. So they produce shows, they produce Hot Tub Time Machine, they produce The Matrix,
it's a great movie,
and Austin Powers, so and all that good kind of stuff. But they also represent talent. like Sandra Bullock and Mike Myers and you know, guys like that. So it's kind of a nice mix between, you know, somebody that can get things done, because there's a lot of talkers in this world. Just being somebody that can see things through is a big calling card. You know, I'm a credible guy. I put together a lot of different projects. Then understanding how the system works and building a network and finding out, you know, what parts are important. So, so the answer is yes and no. You know, you can do a project at one level and make it happen, or you can do a project on a big level and you're probably going to need to be a small part of a bigger picture. I'm all for learning in general, and I've learned a lot throughout the process. So, I'm excited for getting involved in that more. And whatever the role will be, it's going to be something I enjoy, but I know it'll be something that's going to have ups and downs just like anything else.
Dude, I think that's a great point that you kind of just touched on there, is that whether you're a big fish or a small fish, it's kind of like whatever you're used to, it's nice to do the other thing.
Right.
You know, it's nice to be a student again if you've been the instructor for a lot of years, or if you've been kind of at the top of the game in fighting. It's like, dude, I'm going to try my hand in the entertainment world and like learn some new stuff and like try to like, that's a rush. That gets the hair up on the back of your neck when you know, when you're doing something you don't know how to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, just new stuff in general where it's a big task and you have to like hustle and be creative and things like that. So, and I've been learning this over the last, I mean, I feel like I was saying this before. I feel like this whole fight experience, I'm 37 when I hang up the fight game, you know, gloves, but that's young for a CEO of a company. And that's kind of the way I'm approaching this, from the entertainment stuff that I'm doing to the gym stuff, the real estate play, you know, from being able to purchase this building to working on these construction projects with my dad and you know, I've been learning so much, understanding the importance of PR and the importance of loyalty and building a fan base and being part of a community. Like, there's so many little lessons that I've learned from business to life to, you know, school of hard knocks that is just going to help me in the next phase of whatever I'm doing.
Between all these things, like all your ambition for business and things like that, like where does that leave your, like you, like as the individual, your personal life? Like you obviously have a great relationship with your family.
Right.
Like, are you trying to like build your own family? Is that something that's like, you feel like, hey, I got to get this going, or just come when it comes kind of thing?
I definitely want to have a family. And I think probably the biggest thing, you know, I'm a human development major. So I've thought about that, is basically like mom classes is what I took, you know, in college, you know, about like the ages of development, this and that.
Oh, you know, I remember that. Steph came in one day when she was pregnant and she had a baby signs book.
Yeah.
And you were like, she's like, nobody was looking at those books.
Yeah.
And then you walked up like, oh, I know who wrote that book. And you're just like,
yeah,
I know.
She's my teacher for human development.
Yeah, I know all about that book. You're like, that stuff works, man. It's crazy. And you start going off. And
yeah, because, you know, a kid's ability to communicate comes before their vocal cords are developing. So I actually had the instructor that made her name off of baby signs. Was my instructor. So I learned a lot about that. And I definitely do want to have kids. I mean, the cool thing is that guys don't have a biological clock. So, you know, as we
rise in no rush.
Yeah. As we get more resources and more knowledge about the world, it helps out and being able to phase into that. And I definitely want to be, you know, having a family, and I want to dedicate my time when I have kids to be with them all time. So, you know, no rush, but I've got my eye on that.
That's something that you want to achieve at some point too.
For sure. Yeah. And it takes about 9 months to have a kid.
pretty close.
I think I might, who you ask.
Yeah, I think I might be out on 37. I think I might be cut short on having a baby when I'm 37, but 38, there's still a chance.
Still a chance,
big
right?
Chances for 38.
So before you have a baby, and before you move on to the areas of your life, you still got to fight, right?
That's right.
What are you looking to accomplish maybe in this fight? You know, are you hoping to bring something different to the table in terms of maybe what you want to show fans of you as a fighter? Or are you wanting to kind of like, okay, you know what? This is what I'm good at. This is what I want to do. What are you looking to do there?
You know, I want to just go out showing that my skill set's the same as when I came in, if not better. I'm fighting a very tough guy. He's a dangerous guy, one punch picket. He's a soldier. But you know, the whole reason why I'm stopping right now is because I know that I'm on point. I want to go out, you know, just less than a year off of a title fight, five-round title fight, with all skill sets on go, and be able to move on to the next thing with a pride of being healthy and having a great career.
That's very cool, man. I guess if people want to follow what you're doing, and are you going to be as active as you have been on social media and continue to kind of give people a lens into your life and do those kind of things?
I definitely will. I mean, I think it's, you know, it'd be different if I was just trying to get some attention, but I'm trying to educate people about what I'm doing next and bring in the next generation to give them some love and keep people posted on the cool things that are happening with me. And a lot of that's going to be these projects that we're working on, this new facility. I'm sure people are going to be interested in that. I enjoy giving people a peek into what's going on as long as they're interested. And we'll see.
Very cool. So if they want to follow you, they'd follow you where?
Instagram's Uriah Faber. Snapchat's Uriah Faber 1. Facebook, I don't really do my Facebook, but I think it's just my name. Mm-hmm.
You don't have Uriah Faber on Snapchat because I stole that, actually. Right when Snapchat came out, I stole Uriah Faber as a username. So that's my username.
So you're buying.
I didn't do that. So anyway, we'll talk business after this. And
great. He's got me
back to it. Ben's long-term investment.
My long-term investment. I'm just snapping.
Hey, you know what's funny?
Snapchats.
I met these two guys out in L.A., and one was the youngest CEO of a publicly traded company. He got the name "Who's Your Daddy" and licensed it out like 360 something ways. Made an energy drink, a T-shirt, a this line, of that line, of this line, and had a lot of success with it. His partner is a guy that did a land grab on Instagram, so he got money, health, motivation, David Chappelle, you know, like all these different things, and he amassed like 35 million followers and started to monetize that. And they ended up coming together and doing almost like a venture capital with their influence. And they help manage all these social media influencers, like the hot chicks that are, you know, putting butt pics up and have millions of followers, and the Viners and all those different people. So they used that as a platform to get pieces of people's companies. And I met with those guys. I'm like, the times are changing, man. You know, when I started my gym,
that blows my mind.
Yeah,
blows my mind.
Yeah, blows my mind.
I mean, they're making dough. They have a big office in, you know, the W Hotel out in Hollywood. Young guys, and that was their little in. It's just crazy how the world is changing, and so I think it's important to stay on the cutting edge of that stuff, and you know, look for opportunities and keep people, you know, interested and up to date.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for sitting down with us, man. You guys need to be downloading and subscribing to our podcast on iTunes and following us on Instagram at BTB Podcast. We'll keep a close eye on Uriah. We're going to be at that fight, your final fight.
Right.
We're going to figure out a way.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
Right. Peering through the cracks in the wall if we have to. Yeah. But yeah, man, thanks again. Best of luck with everything, and hopefully we see you again soon.
Yeah, guys, thanks. And we got to get you back in here, Ben.
I know, I'm ready.
Get those gloves. Get some rolls back in. See where you've progressed.
Hey,
BTB will be here.
My wife is
to cover that.
My wife is losing her mind right now. The last 24 hours have been full martial arts MMA mode. I could watch Ip Man yesterday. I'm in here doing this podcast right now, digging out my old books and stuff.
That's
She's
awesome.
Losing her mind, bro. But I'll be back in here soon.
All right, cool.
All right, guys.
All right, thanks
guys.